was writing a letter when I knocked, and I stood quietly by the door until she'd finished it. When she did look up, she frowned, and I felt suddenly like a schoolgirl who'd been caught in some mischief. As far as I knew, I'd done nothing wrong, but her frown had the power to make a saint feel guilty. It was one of her best weapons against carelessness and stupid mistakes. "You've had a remarkable career until now, Sister Crawford," she began. "Have you given any thought to the future?" "Oh, dear. There's still much to be done for the wounded," I replied. How very unoriginal, but it was all I could think to say. She nodded, looking down now at what must be my file. "London headquarters has asked for someone capable, discreet, and able to act independently. I've considered my staff, and you strike me as the most suitable candidate." Worse than I thought. I was being considered for a training post in London. My spirits plummeted. Last week, Sister Caldwell had been persuaded to return to the hospital where she had done her own training to teach probationers. I wasn't sure she was happy about that, but she had taken it philosophically, telling the rest of us in the ward that it was an honour to be asked. But I didn't want to teach. I wanted to continue to work with the wounded, who still needed skilled care. Like Sergeant Higgins. She was waiting for a response. "Yes, matron." "Would you consider travelling up to London to speak directly with the person making this request?" "If you think it best." What else could I answer? Although I wouldn't mind a few days' leave in my old flat at Mrs. Hennessy's, the question was, how was I going to convince London, politely, that I'd prefer to return to a clinic? "I do," she said, and nodded as if satisfied with her decision. Looking down again at the letter and the other papers on her blotter, she added, "Say nothing of this, if you please, to anyone else. But be prepared to leave at 6 tomorrow morning. Take your full kit with you, as it is unlikely that you'll be returning to us. You are relieved of your present duties and can hand your patients over to one of the other sisters. If anyone asks, you've been granted a brief leave." "Yes, matron." I had heard speculation that the Queen Alexandra's was considering what to do about the hundreds of new nursing sisters trained in the early months of the war. They couldn't possibly find positions for all of us, even though quite a few, like my former flatmate Diana, had resigned at the end of February in order to be married. I really hadn't thought about my own future. I'd been too busy with the wounded who hadn't gone home at war's end. Men like Sergeant Higgins or Private Tompkins, who were still in clinics like this one. They deserved the gratitude of their country. I realized that Matron was still giving me instructions. "There will be a car waiting for you tomorrow morning. And may I add the very best of luck to you, sister." "Thank you, matron. I shall be sorry to leave this clinic."
"We are sorry to lose you. Goodbye, sister."
I was dismissed. Outside the door, I took a deep breath and tried to think what I'd done that had made matron so eager to be rid of me. But there was no time to dwell on that. 6 o'clock would come soon enough. By the time I'd stepped out of the motor car that had been my transport from the railway station and walked up the steps to the Queen Alexandra's headquarters in London, I had marshalled every argument I could think of to stay on the active duty roster. They seemed lamentably thin, given how very many we were. The staff could choose from the finest. Putting on the best face I could, and remembering my great-great-great-grandmother, who watched my great-great-great-grandfather hurry off to stop Napoleon at Waterloo, I opened the door. This could very well be my Waterloo. I was surprised to find myself expected and ushered directly into the office of the Chief of Nursing. I had met her once before, when we had finished our training, and she had come to congratulate us and wish us Godspeed to France. This wasn't the same person. One of her assistants? She was an older woman, with a stern expression and grey streaks in her brown hair, and nearly as formidable. I could feel a sense of doom falling over me. But she smiled as I entered and said,
"Sister Crawford reporting, matron."
"I'm very pleased to meet you, sister. I knew your father out in India,